is, and how fortunate that Mr. Lawrence's business detains him near you so long, since he is so useful to you and father. The girls are all as good as gold. Joe helps me with the sewing, and insists on doing all sorts of hard jobs. I should be afraid she might overdo, if I didn't know that her moral fit wouldn't last long. Beth is as regular about her tasks as a clock, and never forgets what you told her. She grieves about father, and looks sober except when she is at her little piano. Amy minds me nicely, and I take great care of her. She does her own hair, and I am teaching her to make buttonholes and mend her stockings. She tries very hard, and I know you will be pleased with her improvement when you come. Mr. Lawrence watches over us like a motherly old hen, as Joe says, and Laurie is very kind and neighborly. He and Joe keep us merry, for we get pretty blue sometimes, and feel like orphans with you so far away. Hannah is a perfect saint. She does not scold at all, and always calls me Miss Margaret, which is quite proper, you know, and treats me with respect. We are all well and busy, and we long day and night to have you back. Give my dearest love to Father, and believe me, ever your own, Meg. This note, prettily written on scented paper, was a great contrast to the next, which was scribbled on a big sheet of thin foreign paper, ornamented with blots and all manner of flourishes and curly-tailed letters. My precious Marmy, 3 cheers for dear Father. Brooke was a trump to telegraph right off, and let us know the minute he was better. I rushed up garret when the letter came, and tried to thank God for being so good to us. But I could only cry and say, I'm glad, I'm glad. Didn't that do as well as a regular prayer? For I felt a great many in my heart. We have such funny times, and now I can enjoy them, for everyone is so desperately good it's like living in a nest of turtle doves. You laugh to see Meg head the table and try to be motherish. She gets prettier every day, and I'm in love with her sometimes. The children are regular archangels, and I, well, I'm Joe, and never shall be anything else. Oh, I must tell you that I came near having a quarrel with Laurie. I freed my mind about a silly little thing, and he was offended. I was right, but didn't speak as I ought, and he marched home saying he wouldn't come again till I begged pardon. I declared I wouldn't, and got mad. It lasted all day. I felt bad, and wanted you very much. Laurie and I are both so proud, it's hard to beg pardon. But I thought he'd come to it, for I was in the right. He didn't come, and just at night I remembered what you said when Amy fell into the river. I read my little book, felt better, resolved not to let the sun set on my anger, and ran over to tell Laurie I was sorry. I met him at the gate, coming for the same thing. We both laughed, begged each other's pardon, and felt all good and comfortable again. I made a poem yesterday, when I was helping Hannah wash, and as Father likes my silly little things, I put it in to amuse him. Give him the lovingest hug that ever was, and kiss yourself 12 times for your topsy-turvy Joe. A Song from the Suds. Queen of my tub, I merrily sing, while the white foam rises high, and sturdily wash and rinse and wring, and fasten the clothes to dry. Then out in the free, fresh air they swing under the sunny sky. I wish we could wash from our hearts and souls the stains of the week away, and let water and air by their magic make ourselves as pure as they. Then on the earth there would be indeed a glorious washing day. Along the path of a useful life will heart's ease ever bloom. The busy mind has no time to think of sorrow or care or gloom, and anxious thoughts may be swept away as we bravely wield a broom. I am glad a task to me is given, to labor at day by day, for it brings me health and strength and hope, and I cheerfully learn to say, Head, you may think, heart, you may feel, but hand, you shall work alway. Dear Mother, there is only room for me to send my love, and some pressed pansies from the root I have been keeping safe in the house for Father to see. I read every morning, try to be good all day, and sing myself to sleep with Father's tune. I can't sing Land of the Leal now, it makes me cry. Everyone is very kind, and we are as happy as we can be without you. Amy wants the rest of the page, so I must stop. I didn't forget to cover the holders, and I wind the clock and air the rooms every day. Kiss dear father on the cheek he calls mine. Oh, do come soon to your loving little Beth. Ma chère mamma, we are all well. I do my lessons always and never corroborate the girls. Meg says I mean contradict, so I put in both words and you can take the properest. Meg is a great comfort to me and lets me have jelly every night at tea. It's so good for me, Joe says, because it keeps me sweet-tempered. Laurie is not as respectful as he ought to be now I am almost in my teens. He calls me chick and hurts my feelings by talking French to me very fast when I say merci or bonjour, as Hattie King does. The sleeves of my blue dress are all worn out, and Meg put in new ones. But the full front came wrong, and they are more blue than the dress. I felt bad, but did not fret. I bear my troubles well, but I do wish Hannah would put more starch in my aprons and have buckwheats every day. Can't she? Didn't I make that interrogation point nice? Meg says my punctuation and spelling are disgraceful, and I am mortified, but, dear me, I have so many things to do I can't stop. Adieu. I send heaps of love to Papa. Your affectionate daughter, Amy Curtis March. Dear Miss March, I just drop a line to say we get on first rate. The girls is clever and fly around right smart. Miss Meg is going to make a proper good housekeeper. She has a liking for it, and gets the hang of things surprising quick. Joe does beat all for going ahead, but she don't stop to calculate first, and you never know where she's like to bring up. She done out a tub of clothes on Monday, but she starched 'em afore they was wrenched, and blued a pink calico dress till I thought I should have died a-laughin'. Beth is the best of little creeters, and a sight of help to me, being so forehanded and dependable. She tries to learn everything, and really goes to market beyond her years. Likewise keeps accounts, with my help, quite wonderful. We have got on very economical so far. I don't let the girls have coffee only once a week, according to your wish, and keep 'em on plain wholesome victuals. Amy does well about frettin', wearin' her best clothes and eatin' sweet stuff. Mr. Laurie is as full of didos as usual, and turns the house upside down frequent. But he heartens up the girls, and so I let 'em have full swing. The old gentleman sends heaps of things, and is rather wearin', but means well, and it ain't my place to say nothin'. My bread is riz, so no more at this time. I send my duty to Mr. March, and hope he's seen the last of his pneumonia. Yours respectful, Hannah Mullet. Head nurse of Ward No. 2. All serene on the Rappahannock. Troops in fine condition. Commissary department well conducted. The home guard under Colonel Teddy always on duty. Commander-in-chief General Lawrence reviews the army daily. Quartermaster Mullet keeps order in camp, and Major Lyon does picket duty at night. A salute of 24 guns was fired on receipt of good news from Washington, and a dress parade took place at headquarters. Commander-in-chief sends best wishes, in which he is heartily joined by Colonel Teddy. Dear Madam, the little girls are all well. Beth and my boy report daily. Hannah is a model servant, and guards pretty Meg like a dragon. Glad the fine weather holds. Pray make Brooke useful, and draw on me for funds if expenses exceed your estimate. Don't let your husband want anything. Thank God he is mending. Your sincere friend and servant, James Lawrence. Chapter 17. Little Faithful. For a week the amount of virtue in the old house would have supplied the neighbourhood. It was really amazing, for everyone seemed in a heavenly frame of mind, and self-denial was all the fashion. Relieved of their first anxiety about their father, the girls insensibly relaxed their praiseworthy efforts a little, and began to fall back into the old ways. They did not forget their motto, but hoping and keeping busy seemed to grow easier. And after such tremendous exertions, they felt that endeavor deserved a holiday, and gave it a good many. Joe caught a cold through neglect to cover the shorn head enough, and was ordered to stay at home till she was better, for Aunt March didn't like to hear people read with colds in their heads. Joe liked this, and after an energetic rummage from garret to cellar, subsided on the sofa to nurse her cold with arsenicum and books.